rigid attachment to truth and justice, that he revealed to the soldiers the pious falsehood of a nurse who presented her own child in the place of a royal infant. The tragic scene was finally closed by the execution of the emperor himself, in the 20th year of his reign and the 63rd of his age. The bodies of the father and his 5 sons were cast into the sea. Their heads were exposed to Constantinople to the insults or pity of the multitude. And it was not till some signs of putrefaction had appeared that Phocas connived at the private burial of these venerable remains. In that grave, the faults and errors of Morus were kindly interred. His fate alone was remembered, and at the end of 20 years, in the recital of the history of Theophylact, the mournful tale was interrupted by the tears of the audience. Such tears must have flowed in secret, and such compassion would have been criminal under the reign of Phocas, who was peaceably acknowledged in the provinces of the East and West. The images of the emperor and his wife Leontia were exposed in the Lateran to the veneration of the clergy and senate of Rome, and afterwards deposited in the palace of the Caesars, between those of Constantine and Theodosius. As a subject and a Christian, it was the duty of Gregory to acquiesce in the established government. But the joyful applause with which he salutes the fortune of the assassin has sullied with indelible disgrace the character of the saint. The success of the apostles might have inculcated with decent firmness the guilt of blood and the necessity of repentance. He is content to celebrate the deliverance of the people and the fall of the oppressor, to rejoice that the piety and benignity of Phocas have been raised by providence to the imperial throne, to pray that his hands may be strengthened against all his enemies, and to express a wish, perhaps a prophecy, that after a long and triumphant reign, he may be transferred from a temporal to an everlasting kingdom. I have already traced the steps of a revolution so pleasing, in Gregory's opinion, both to heaven and earth. And Phocas does not appear less hateful in the exercise than in the acquisition of power. The pencil of an impartial historian has delineated the portrait of a monster, his diminutive and deformed person, the closeness of his shaggy eyebrows, his red hair, his beardless chin, and his cheek disfigured and discolored by a formidable scar. Ignorant of letters, of laws, and even of arms, he indulged in the supreme rank a more ample privilege of lust and drunkenness, and his brutal pleasures were either injurious to his subjects or disgraceful to himself. Without assuming the office of a prince, he renounced the profession of a soldier, and the reign of Phocas afflicted Europe with ignominious peace and Asia with desolating war. His savage temper was inflamed by passion, hardened by fear, exasperated by resistance or reproach. The flight of Theodosius, the eldest son of Morus, to the Persian court had been intercepted by a rapid pursuit or a deceitful message. He was beheaded at Nice, and the last hours of the young prince were soothed by the comforts of religion and the consciousness of innocence. Yet his phantom disturbed the repose of the usurper. A whisper was circulated through the East that the son of Morus was still alive. The people expected their avenger, and the widow and daughters of the late emperor would have adopted as their son and brother the vilest of mankind. In the massacre of the imperial family, the mercy, or rather the discretion, of Phocas had spared these unhappy females, and they were decently confined to a private house. But the spirit of the Empress Constantina, still mindful of her father, her husband, and her sons, aspired to freedom and revenge. At the dead of night, she escaped to the sanctuary of St. Sophia, but her tears and the gold of her associate Germanus were insufficient to provoke an insurrection. Her life was forfeited to revenge and even to justice. But the patriarch obtained and pledged an oath for her safety, a monastery was allotted for her prison, and the widow of Morus accepted and abused the lenity of his assassin. The discovery or the suspicion of a second conspiracy dissolved the engagements and rekindled the fury of Phocas. A matron who commanded the respect and pity of mankind, the daughter, wife, and mother of emperors, was tortured like the vilest malefactor to force a confession of her designs and associates, and the Empress Constantine